The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Welcome to a very special, incredible, unbelievable edition of Stunt Granny Audio. Here's a couple of voices you haven't heard in a little while. At least mine, Eric Nelson here, along with my buddy, the Midnight Rider, the Yellow Dog himself, Zura, Dan Keister. Dan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. Just recovered from a long drive back from Waterloo, Iowa, but no complaints. And ready to get back at work here and do some positive things. But yeah, I'm doing good.
Awesome. Glad to hear it. Any drive back from Waterloo is a long drive back, let me tell you what. The reason why Dan was in Waterloo is the annual George Tragos Luthez Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame induction held at the National Wrestling Hall of Fame Dan Gable Museum. What a mouthful. In Waterloo, Iowa. Dan, you got to go this year. Guess who didn't get to go for the first time in like 8 years? This guy right here, Jackass Eric Nelson. So you're going to have to fill in the folks this year about your attendance and tell the people who else went with you this year.
Tell people what, Eric? I'm sorry.
Yeah, who else went with you this year? Who are some of your fellow attendees?
Okay, sure. So Matt, the WWF fanatic, Matt Seitz was there. And Derek Price and Steve Williams, some guys that I think I'm the only one that's still a Torch subscriber, but that's where I met all those guys. And we kind of all connected through Facebook and other means and talked about going to this thing, and we got all those guys to go last year. I guess Matt, this was my fourth year. I think it was Matt's third and Derek and Steve's second. So you started this whole thing, and we're trying to keep the ball rolling, and many people, as we may talk about, wanted to see you back next year, including people I haven't even mentioned to you, such as Travis mentioned that to me as well. So your absence was noted by many.
That may make me feel better than pretty much anything else we talk about all night long. Even my buddy Matty Starr taking the diamond cutter pales in comparison to people talking about me, because I am an egotist. But nonetheless, yeah, man, I just, you know, as everybody probably knows, I made the big move from Des Moines, Iowa to Nashville, Tennessee. So my travel for the time being is going to be few and far between. Hopefully next year I can get back in the swing of things. Here's something that interests me. Dan, you and I have driven back and forth to the event a couple of times now. Talk to me briefly about the drive there. How long did it take you? Where'd you come from? How'd you keep yourself entertained? Music you're listening to? Just let me know about the drive to Waterloo.
Boy, I'll tell you, there's no easy way to get there. It's a seven-hour haul from Manhattan, Kansas. I spent Thursday night, and actually not planned, but I spent last night, Sunday night, in Kansas City, because about the time I hit Kansas City from Waterloo, I just couldn't take it anymore. I was really tired. We'd had a couple late nights. I got up early Sunday because I'm a lifetime member now of the Hall of Fame, and they had a nice spread for the Hall of Fame lifetime members, including some coffee, orange juice, and bagels. So I went and grabbed some of those, and it got me on the road early, which was great. But by the time I hit Kansas City, I had nothing else to give. The only thing I would mention is that I stopped on the way up because I thought I was running ahead of Matt in Osceola, Iowa, and I stopped at the Lakeside Casino for a half an hour.
Yes. I knew it. I knew you were going to say that. Awesome.
And that was the saddest-looking place I have seen in a while. There was one blackjack table open, and the guy playing looked like he hated the world, and so I didn't want to sit down with him. There was one person playing craps, and he just didn't look like a very good shooter, to be frank. And so I sat and played Mississippi Stud, because that was an open table that I never went at, but I took $75 out of the town of Osceola, was in the casino. I was in and out of my car in a half an hour, and it just kind of, you know, my back starts bothering me. I get tired of driving, and Matt said he wanted to eat when we got into Waterloo, so I thought I'd wait in terms of lunch. I wouldn't normally just stop and have lunch, but that was my only stop of note on the way up. And I mean, it's just a flat, boring drive. Unlike Kansas, Iowa does not have 75-mile-an-hour speed limits either, which is unfortunate. So,
right.
But it was fun. It was fun once we got there, and as always, it was a great event.
Well, and quick note, I think by taking $75 out of Osceola, you dropped their GDP by about 50%. So, good job. Iowa's crumbling now, one city at a time.
I was a little afraid of that. We more than gave that back in Waterloo, unfortunately. So, it's more than a lot, I guess. But, yeah.
Nice. What time did you get there, and what was the first thing you saw when you got to town?
So Matt and I literally pulled into the hotel at the same time, about 3:30. So it worked out real well. He had a little fender bender. Maybe I shouldn't talk about that. But wasn't his look. I was going to have to give him a few bucks and whatever. And so we met the not-so-quality Inn & Suites, ran across to a new restaurant that I don't even Bleachers, it was a sports bar. I forget what it was called. It was pretty good. And
good.
We ran into Troy Peterson and some of the crew there, actually. And we joined them for lunch, Troy and Caroline and some of their friends and other people. And Travis was there as well and people involved with the show. And we didn't plan that. We just happened in at the same time. So always enjoy visiting with those guys. Food was actually really, really good at this place. And so we finished that. Went back and watched some Houston wrestling DVDs and fired up just in time to get to the 7 p.m. IPW show.
All right, good deal. Troy Peterson is co-promoter along with Travis Shillington of Impact Pro Wrestling. Travis, longtime pro wrestler around the Iowa and independent scene. The first time I saw him was in 97. He's been on Monday Night Raw a couple of times and seasons that, so... it's really cool that you've gotten a chance to get to know those guys. In fact, maybe fast-forwarding, maybe not, but I wanted to mention that you went out to the Cauliflower Alley Club, and Troy was out there, correct, and maybe a couple of other folks?
Yeah, Troy was out there. James Jeffries was out there, who I'm a pretty big fan of. The women that wrestle for IPW were there. And then some of these other... you know, lifetime members of the Hall of Fame, Chad and Tim, were out there as well. And I'm probably forgetting somebody, but, yeah, that was really cool. And got to visit with those guys a little bit. Troy's buddy, Derek, who gambled with me some, I was playing in the World Series of Poker at the time. And, that was a neat event. Yeah. So, got to hang out with some of those guys and see some of them again. And that was neat.
Very cool. So you got there in time for the show, and we can run through the show pretty quickly, but according to the program that I saw, the first match was my good buddy, Matty Starr, versus Latin Thunder. Take me through that match.
Yeah, that was the opener. It actually preceded the Battle Royal, which not much to say about the Battle Royal other than Derek, Steve, myself, and Matt sat around the beers on the outcome, and I won. And then Derek, his man was first eliminated, so he had to buck up and buy us around a $2 Bud Light. But
ouch.
You know, good opening match there. It was really fun. They involved Matty is looking, he's a self-professed sex symbol at this point, and he's doing some rather obnoxious dance moves that are pretty hilarious, actually. And
yeah.
His manager would take the phone and take selfies of them. And then the Latin Thunder and his valet got a hold of the cell phone, and they were taking the pictures, and everybody got mad, and then Matty got confused and got beat. So it was spoiled again, entertaining. And Matty's, we've watched him for a few years. As far as entertainment factor goes, he's near the top of the list, and kind of a fun match with he and Latin Thunder to start things off.
All right, very cool. So then the Battle Royal, you won a round of beers. Derek had to pay up. Any other items of note from the Battle Royal?
Can't even remember who won. It was a big guy. So, yeah, I mean, it was fun. We were having a great time and supporting our favorites. But you know, it was a battle royal. It was well-received by the crowd. Crowd was maybe a little bit down this year. I'd estimate 400 to 500 people. Yeah, just real interactive, though. And it was, you know, yeah, it was nothing stood out, really, I guess.
Sure. Seems to me in the last 2 years, the Battle Royal has been reserved for a lot of the trainees and tryout students and things like that. But good exposure for those guys. Good to get in the ring in front of everybody there. So cool that they have. And you're right. Battle Royals are always good for crowds, so why not, right?
Yeah, and it was a mix of some established guys and some of their guys I wasn't familiar with. And it's just a little overwhelming to keep everybody straight for me when I know a lot of the guys that wrestle there, but not that well. So I still can't remember the guy that I picked. That he got like fifth, but he was the best out of the four that we chose, so that's all that matters.
All right, nice. Exactly. Hey, it won you a beer. I don't suppose New Tights was there this year, was he? Because he was in the battle.
No, New Tights wasn't there, so we were looking for him.
Bummer.
People that want to hear about that can listen to our last year's discussion.
Exactly. All right, tag team matchup next. Everybody's favorite, Colt Cabana, teaming with, I believe he called himself the Tangerine Dream, Ricky Love, versus Scrap Iron, Adam Pearce, and Sparrow. And just any notes on the match, but you were saying that you're a big fan of Adam Pearce now coming out of the show.
Yeah, I mean, he's really good, and I think people know that. But we actually were giving him hell more during the Lumberjack match at the end because he and Sparrow lost. They had a big argument, and they were slapping each other. And then they were buddy-buddy at the Lumberjack match, and I'm like, what the hell, man? You guys were just fighting, you know? And he's like, we made up, and we're going to go take all the women to Waterloo or whatever he said. I don't know. It was appropriate.
Yeah, good luck with that, guys.
Pretty funny, and we were going back and forth with him, and he's the right mixture of you know, he looks the part, extremely credible, but you know, he also kind of plays along, too. So I was just really impressed with him. And the work in this match was really good. All, you know, obviously Colt and Adam Pearce, they kind of set back and let the IPW guys, Ricky Love and Sparrow, kind of show themselves a little bit. But when it came time to get involved, they certainly did so. Yet again, confusion reigned in the end where I believe it was Colt that pinned Sparrow, and then we had the argument that we spoke of. But the crowd, there were some local guys there that knew some of these guys, and the both the Colt chants and even more the Ricky Love chants were really something in this particular match. And everything was, you know, well executed and very entertaining. And so at this point, we were really getting into things and having a heck of a good time, and for good reason. I mean, it was a lot of fun, this particular match. And like I said, those guys are real pros and kind of control the crowd. Colt got in and gave his real high octane offense, including the flip flop fly and some of his favorite moves. And he and Adam Pearce, you know, they got moving there for a little bit, back and forth and crisscross and all that. And like I said, I'd say probably 2/3 to 3/4 of the match were the local guys, but when they got in there, they didn't really, you know, they really worked well and put on a good show. So it was, yeah, I really enjoyed this particular match, along with the next one as much as anything we saw all night.
Very cool. The next match is a 6-man tag. A couple of my favorites, Justin Decent and Ugly, former IPW tag team champions, and they teamed with James Jeffries, your new buddy. And they teamed up against the intellectual punk rock icon, Tony Sly, and a couple of guys named Nate Redwing and Nate Alston. So the Nates, I don't know if they had a team name or if that's why they teamed up in the first place, but I'm a sucker for a 6-man tag. What'd you think of the match? And talk to me a little bit about getting on James Jeffries' good side.
Yeah, so the crowd was just, you know, James Jeffries was the face in peril throughout this match, and the chants of James Jeffries were quite overwhelming, more than anything we heard all night, which was pretty cool because he's You know, he plays that role really well, and those three are all really good, I think. It's been fun to watch. And I got into it with Tony Sly a little bit before the match or during the match where he was talking about, I think we were making fun of his glasses, and he was talking about how he had 2 degrees. And I said, well, I have a PhD. And he's like, that's a shoot. And I'm like, well, I have a PhD. And he mentioned to me at the bar after the show that I said, yeah, that's the truth, man. And he's like, well, I kind of saw when you said that you were one of the few people that actually know the mind about it. So I just got to shut up. But the match itself was very good. This one of these guys was a bigger guy for the heel team that took a bump and, oh, my, on the floor that just I can't recall which Nate it was. Again, I don't know these guys very well, but it was wow. I mean, it was quite the deal there, if I recall correctly. And so that one kind of made me cringe a little bit. But good, you know. And I think Tony Sly has a lot to do with this. The kind of shenanigans by the heels and the way they all kind of got together to coordinate things was really entertaining, and had the kids and the crowd were really giving these guys hell for good reason, because they were unlikable, as you would hope they would be.
Yeah, awesome. No, they're all the four guys that I'm familiar with are all great characters, so it's no surprise they had a good six-man.
The other guys were good too. I mean, they were new. I didn't know the other two heels very well, but I thought they all kind of held their own. One guy had a red, he was a muscular guy, but he also had this red rooster haircut. So if you're you can't get heat with that, then I don't know what you're doing. So he made it inside the crowd.
Don't let Dusty meet that guy. Keep Dusty Giebink away from that guy, 100 yards.
Yeah, he may try to sign him up. I don't know.
Nice. All right. Next match, title match, Nikki Free versus AJ Smooth. AJ Smooth has been pretty decent heel member of Team. Wow, that sounded shitty when I said that. I guess what I was going to say is Team Canada has kind of sort of been on and off whether or not they're Team Canada. That was what I was referring to as pretty decent. AJ Smooth.
From his ties, I got the impression he was a part of Team Canada. You know, he was trying to get people to chant Canada and all that. this was, and he won the title at the end. We were giving the ring announcer a bad time because he seemed to not do enough to keep AJ from getting both the belt itself and the ring bell. He tried to use the ring bell as a weapon, and then he did use the belt and won the title. So, and you know, they kind of, I think, do more wrestling in their title matches, which I really enjoy, and I think AJ Smooth was strong at that, and Nikki Free's pretty good too. But the thing is that, you know, they're trying to get, Nikki Free's trying to fire up the crowd, and I'm like, this other guy hasn't even cheated at all up to this point.
Yeah.
It's hard to get after him. What are we supposed to bill him for other than he's from Canada? And so that maybe he should be a little more subtle cheating, AJ, there. But it was good match, and then the big ending. The only other thing I'd mention about the undercard is, and I forget the guy, the name that he wrestled, but Sean Devari's brother was added to the show, I think, because he did well in the tryout. I'm exceptionally impressed with that guy. I thought he was as good as anyone we saw. Just smooth. I mean, he was the bad guy, and he got some good, you know, evil, whatever you want to say. He didn't really say anything anti-American, but we're supposed to dislike him. And, boy, I think he can really go. And the guy who was wrestling was looked the part, certainly, but we couldn't really cheer for him much because he had this big Ultimate Warrior tattoo, and we were like, we kind of want to look for the younger Devari here, but that was one of the best matches, if not the best match of the night. And this, I apologize, is Ariel? I don't know his first name offhand.
Oh, Aria. Aria Devari.
Aria. I thought, as terms of being ready for the next level, he impressed me more than anyone I saw. The only other thing we left out was in the middle of the show, after Matty Starr had lost his match, he came out and started bad-mouthing Diamond Dallas Page, and the expected result occurred. Page came out, and Diamond cuttered Matty Starr, and Matty sold it like $1 million. The crowd was going crazy, chanting one more time, one more time. Diamond Dallas Page obliged them, and Matty Starr doing his obnoxious sexy dance with his obnoxious manager really, in a way, stole the show here. It was great, after which Diamond Dallas Page showed a DDP yoga video about the gentleman that he kind of really saved his life. I mean, the ex-military guy, which for those that hadn't seen it, is great. And that was really a highlight of the show. And the crowd was certainly into DDP and into Matty in a heel way. So that was, those two things really stood out as being the great thing on the show. And then in the main event, I'm kind of rushed through this, because I think people might be more interested in the Hall of Fame than the card, to be honest. So Wes Briscoe and the Big Picture were in the main event. Not a lot, and maybe it was the Big Picture that took that bump I was thinking about earlier. I honestly can't remember, but one of these big guys took a hellacious bump on the outside. I think it was one of the guys in the six-man match, though. But other than the fact that there were lumberjacks that were highly entertaining in this match, and, of course, the bad guys would not do their job very well, and the good guys would, and there was some interaction there with Colt and Adam Pearce and other guys. And then the big finale, as you might expect, is where Danny Hodge almost killed the Big Picture with a punch, I think. And lights out, good night, you're not getting up from that. And Wes Briscoe won, and Jerry Briscoe came in and celebrated with him, and kids filled the ring, and it was a cool way to end the show. So
all right,
that was
very cool.
Another fun Friday night of wrestling.
Good deal. Hey, how was the bar afterwards?
Well, it was great. Most of the IPW guys were there. I think some of the national guys went to other places. But we hung out there till about, it was a late, you know, it was a long drive for everybody, but I guess we hung out there till, I don't know, 1:30, something like that. it was just, you know, that's always fun. It's hard to pinpoint any one thing about it. But those are really, you know, fun people to talk to. And Troy kind of helps us feel like we're not intruding too much to hang out with some of the IPW guys. And I spent a lot of money on the jukebox. And, it was fun. And, of course, the guys I went with are really fun to talk to. And we had a heck of a good time. And so we kind of focused on what we'd seen, and it was good.
Cool. The next afternoon is usually reserved for things like Q&A sessions, autographs. What did you guys partake in, and especially with your all-access passes?
Yeah, so the first thing for the all-access passes was a roundtable kind of legends discussion. Actually, it would have been pretty cool to hear this radio show, because they had DDP and Jim Ross, and I don't know if they had Scotty Steiner or not on there, but some of the people that got there early were listening to the radio show that started at 9 o'clock, and the little bit I heard of it, I was like, this would have been pretty cool to sit in on. But the Legends Roundtable was it was Larry Henning, and it was Danny Hodge. Carl Lauer from Cauliflower Alley joined those guys.
Cool.
And, I'm embarrassed here. Who am I forgetting? Briscoe and Ross joined those guys later. And I'm looking at the program, and this person was the Baron.
Baron von Raschke.
Yeah, and so that was a lot of fun, and they told some interesting stories. And Kyle mentioned this. The only thing that I think would have been maybe better is if they were able to get one of the Steiners or DDP or someone to sit in on that, because they did that 11 to 12, and it was some really cool stories, really funny stuff. Some of which I'd heard, some of which I hadn't heard. I asked Larry Henning a question about teaming with Harley Race, and he really gave some good stories about Harley and just kind of teaming with different guys. And all those guys are really entertaining. But then from 12:30 to 1:30, there was a thing honoring the Baron with Larry Henning, Carl Lauer, and Danny Hodge again. And so there wasn't as much of a distinction between the two events, other than at the end where Jim Ross and Jerry Briscoe came in, and Ross told some really interesting stories during that. But I didn't really think about this too much in preparation for this. Nothing earth-shattering in these, but yeah, just kind of some funny stories. And I'll tell you this: there weren't any embarrassing questions this year at all, which was good to see. The people that attended
all seemed you know, intelligent and well prepared with their questions. So that was pretty cool. Go ahead, Eric. I'm sorry.
I was going to ask if the 140-pound Jeff Hardy fan came this year to ask Jim Ross how to get into pro wrestling.
Yeah, he wasn't there. He didn't have to be told to bulk up. You know, that was good. And there was a mixture of people, but the certainly all excess pass holders, I didn't see anyone that just was too concerning in terms of worrying about whether they'd ask reasonable questions. And it was a nice crowd. And so they had a huge line for autographs. And this was at 1:30 after the Baron thing. And we didn't really want to deal with that, even though the All Access Pass members got to go first. But I did want Jerry Briscoe to sign my Briscoe book. And even though I've seen Jerry and spoke to him a few times, I thought, well, this is the time to ask that. So I asked Troy, I said, hey, man, you know, we want to go eat. Can I just run in and get Jerry Briscoe to sign this book, and then I'll clear out, and I don't think people will be too mad if I'm not. You know, I mean, Jerry's great, but he's there every year, and I think more people might want to get an autograph from Dan Gable or the Steiners or DDP or some of the people that aren't there all the time. And so I really got pretty fortunate doing that because Jerry signed my book and Bill Murdoch signed my book. He happened to be standing there, and I appreciated that. And then Jerry Briscoe asked me to play photographer for a while, and I was like, sure. And so I got to take pictures of he with Randy Couture and Danny Hodge and Dan Gable and just listen to him talk a little bit and, you know, was still taking some pictures when the Steiners were in there and visiting some and DDP. I just kind of took it all in. I didn't say much of anything, but I felt justified. Well, everybody else was waiting outside. I'm in there taking pictures for
Jerry Briscoe. Yeah, my favorite part of the story is that you try to hop the line because everybody's hungry, and then when you get in and Jerry Briscoe woos you, then you tell everybody else how to take pictures for Jerry Briscoe.
I was very happy to do it, and, you know, I actually did a couple times. I said, let me get one with Mike, because I'd take pictures with Jerry's phone, and then I'd say, let me sit this down and just get a couple with my own phone. So I was happy to do that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Well, cool.
And so,
it's fun to be in the same room with these guys and have that kind of audience or be the audience for them, kind of be a fly on the wall. You don't get that experience really anywhere.
Right, and I mean, once the autograph starts, it's a different dynamic. I mean, they're all great guys and willing to do all that, but it's just a little more, I don't know, it's not the same. So I felt kind of privileged to do that, and like I said, man, I paid my money. I'm an all lifetime member or whatever. So I didn't heck with those people. This guy in the front of the line was kind of, when I walked out, he was kind of giving me the evil eye. I'm like, too bad, buddy. You know,
yeah.
I did what I was asked to do. And because I noticed, like, Chad was helping him get chairs ready and stuff. Chad and Tim are other lifetime members. And so, you know, I mean, when you go every year and you, maybe I'm feeling a little too self-important, but I didn't. Like I was perfectly happy to leave. I mean, he signed my book, and Bill signed my book, and he and JR were talking, and he said, can you wait here? And I'm like, yeah, okay. And
if you say so, sir.
Then I took pictures for a while. So, yeah, I think they were reasonable quality. I hope so.
Well, cool. That's awesome. So then after you guys had Red Apple Buffet, I'm kidding. I'm sure you didn't.
We ran to the casino.
Oh, good. You got some more of
really
that in. All right,
nice
good deal.
Lunch at their sports bar. That was a very good sports bar, too. And then we gambled a bit, which was not good. Although Steve won $40, and Matt and I did not do well. And we got back in time for the Hall of Fame bank.
All right. So award winners and inductees include Randy Couture, won the what did he win, the Frank Gotch Award or the Doug
George
Tragos?
The George Tragos Award.
It's the George Tragos Award. DDP is given the
You're
going to have to run through these. Okay, DDP got the – say that again.
DDP got the Frank Gotch Award, which is for helping
Frank Gotch
out.
Award.
And Bill Murdoch gave a nice talk about what that's all about, and I think he's been extremely helpful to others, so it was really cool. There were some really cool things that took place during the banquet.
Cool. Larry Hennig was also given an award, the Lou Cez Award, I think, right?
Yes, and so that was so. If you could indulge me a little bit, Eric, we might go through a couple of these awards and the honorees, and
sure,
and just this is about it. So as mentioned, Kyle Klingman, who does a great job running the event and the museum, introduced things. Carl Lauer gave a nice check to the museum and talked to Jerry Briscoe. Not on the program, Mad Dog Rashawn's wife gave an excellent talk about what the museum meant to Maurice and just thanked some people, and it was a really touching thing. It was a great talk that she gave from the heart. The cool thing about the event is, no offense to the guy from Canada or previous hosts, including Kyle, but Jim Ross was the MC. And this is about as unfiltered as you'll hear Jim Ross, and he was hilarious, and he kept the evening moving tremendously. And I won't repeat all of his jokes and funny stories. It's kind of one of those things you have to be there for. But there was never a dull moment. And, you know, he's a little more unfiltered. He mentions, especially when talking about Larry Matisic, about some of the things that I think the way he thinks wrestling should be presented. And most of the people in that room think wrestling should be presented relative to the way it is being presented. And he's still politically correct about it, but he makes his points extremely well, especially to someone like me who agrees with everything that he's saying. But, so the big awards were the Melby Award. And Herb Simmons accepted on behalf of Larry Matisic, who, for those who don't know, was Sam Mushnick's right-hand man in St. Louis for – gosh, I guess 25 years or so. And now he and Herb Simmons actually co-promote a group in Southern Illinois, right near St. Louis. Larry gave a great speech, and his dislike for the way WWE presents wrestling, that wasn't the focus of his talk, but he made it perfectly clear and how – you know, how he kind of became disenchanted working for WWE, but talked mostly about working for Sam Muchnick and what wrestling meant to St. Louis back in those days, which I'm from Missouri. I got to see that a little bit as a kid, and talked about why he wrote books and just how much he thought of Jim Melby, which the award is named after, and great speech. It was on video. Larry's having some health issues, spinal stenosis, but really a great way to be the first official presenter. First you had Kathy Vachon speak, which was excellent, and then Larry Matisic, and it was, you know, obviously you don't like to see people not doing as well as you'd like to physically, and you don't like to hear about folks that have passed on, but it was a really classy way to start the event.
Okay, great. What are some of the other standout speeches? Obviously we had we talked about the award winners, but then the Hall of Fame inductees. Posthumously, Wilbur Snyder was inducted, but then the two new living members of the Hall of Fame, Rick Steiner and Scott Steiner. And I may have gotten a text during the banquet about Scott Steiner crying during his speech. Tell me about that.
It was amazing. Yeah. Let me mention a couple other things first before we get to the inductees, because as you mentioned earlier, Larry Henning got the Lou Thesz Award for, just kind of outstanding service and greatness in terms of promoting wrestling and promoting a positive image for wrestling. And first of all, what's great to see is I think Larry Henning, my personal impression was he was hilarious during some of these discussions. And someone mentioned that he had to tell the Road Warriors that he was the original Road Warrior when he and Kurt would wrestle him, and they were going to need to get along with him or there were going to be problems. Have you ever seen those matches? Because someone asked him about this, they didn't mess with Larry Henning, and probably for good reason. In terms of that, he also told a story earlier in the day about how some hotshot wanted to try out for wrestling, and they said, well, Wally Carbine, they said, just show up before the TV taping, and someone told him you could pick whoever you want to wrestle. And this guy picked Danny Hodge, who was at the end of the line and the smallest guy, and the result was exactly what you would expect, and that guy did not become a wrestler after trying out Mr. Hodge. So he was full of great stories. I thought his health had improved personally.
Good.
Jim Ross gave him hell because he doesn't look tan at all. And he's like, well, good to see you've been in the tanning booth, Larry, or something. And Larry got up there and he's like, this guy's all hat, no cattle. brought the crowd down. And Charlie Thez mentioned how much Lou thought of Larry Henning. And this, to me, was the greatest part of the entire evening. Larry Henning gave a moving speech about Lou and about what he thought about him. And he had this photo, which you can find on their Twitter page or whatever, blown up photo of him and Larry and Lou Thez wrestling. And I should have the quote with me here. He gave an 8x10, a real nice photo to everyone in the audience. And it's signed by Larry Henning. It says, in memory of the greatest heavyweight champion ever, Lou Thez, thank you, Lou, and the Hall of Fame for making this award possible. July 19th, 2014, Larry the Axe Henning. And, you know, kind of hard to stay dry-eyed after this. I mean, it's so cool to see people honored for things that are well-deserved and a life well-lived and a lot of accomplishments. And Charlie gave a great talk about just, I'm repeating myself, but this was really a cool thing. And then Charlie mentioned that the video has Larry kind of giving Lou a throw here. And she said, you couldn't have found a picture where you were on the defense or something. But
right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to frame this thing. I mean, it was, and Larry had his grandkids hand one of these photos out to everybody in the crowd. And it was awesome. I mean, it was just one of those things you don't expect. And you could see how much it meant to him to have the Lou Thez honor. Just again, just you go out of this thing and you think this is such a first-class organization. Jim Ross tweets about it and writes about it all the time. And he said this, you're not a real wrestling fan if you've never been here. You may think you are, but you're not. And it was really cool. Along those lines, Diamond Dallas Page accepting the Frank Gotch Award for helping others. Bill Murdoch gave a great speech about that. And he thanked a lot of people. And, you know, DDP, he's full of energy in life. And he really thanked Jerry Briscoe. And he talked about guys that have been on the program and talked about Jake Roberts was discussed by Jim Ross and Jerry Briscoe and others, and Dallas brought that up. And just, it was a very classy speech, and he appeared to be, I know he thinks highly of himself, and with good reason. And, you know, he's a positive guy, he talks about that, but he appeared to be somewhat humbled by this, and it was a pretty cool thing. So that was neat. And then they closed the evening with Danny Hodge accepting for Wilbur Snyder. Rick Steiner giving a real nice talk about being in the Hall of Fame. And the thing about the Steiners is they would not be this impressed by getting into the WWE Hall of Fame. Larry Matisick mentioned in his thing that it's so honoring to be in a legitimate Hall of Fame that's not a public relations movement, you know, that it's all about what you've actually done. And that's not a very subtle thing that he said, and I think it's somewhat accurate. He was honored as well. But the thing that was so cool about the Steiners is they know that because they were such studs as amateur wrestlers, that's why they're in this thing. And I think that you would have to ask them this, but I got the impression that amateur wrestling means more to those guys than what they did as pros, even though they're very proud of what they did as pros. They both talked about their families, particularly Scott. You don't think of Scott as being this incredibly humble guy. I don't think, hopefully he wouldn't get mad at me for saying that, because he still would rip anyone apart. But he seemed very humble. He was very thankful to his family. He did break down a few times, and people kind of tried to clap to get him through it. He brought up all these great amateur wrestling names, beating some of the Iowa wrestlers, what he thought about Mr. Gable and different things. And it was just a, again, this is always a classy event, but there was none of the drama this year. And everyone that was honored busted their butt to be there. And Larry was unable to attend, Larry Matisick, but he went all out in terms of what he sent in. And it just, you felt really good about being a part of it. And it was a cool thing.
Nobody got their plaque auctioned off this year?
everybody was there except, again, Mr. Matusik, and they were happy to send his plaque with Herb Simmons or accept it on his behalf. So, yeah, it was great. And again, Jim Ross ties the thing together really well, either by being funny when that's a good idea or by being serious when that's a good idea. So it was we say this every year, but if you've never been, you should definitely get to the museum, even if you can just check it out. Larry Matusik sent some great videos from St. Louis that I sat and watched a fair number of, and that they've really like organized that thing even better. Like the wrestling room right now is as good as I've ever seen it. It's, the museum's in great shape, and they have a mat of honor that these guys are signing, and it's just a lot of that's Troy Peterson's doing, I think, too. He's just very philanthropic in what he does for the museum, and of course Kyle does a great job. And yeah, it's, you know, if you're listening to this, you've never been, you owe it to yourself to go. And people like Jim Ross and Jerry Briscoe, that are much more knowledgeable and accomplished than I am, are saying that. But I would echo that.
Very nice. Well, for more on Impact Pro Wrestling, go to impactprowrestling.com for more about the museum. It is the National Wrestling Hall of Fame, NWHOF.org. You can search for the Waterloo Wing there. If you're not following JR on Twitter, you're not listening to his podcast, you don't hear him talk about this museum and this Hall of Fame, you're exactly right. This is something Jim Ross holds in esteem. It's something the attendees and the inductees hold in esteem. So, I didn't get a chance to go. Yeah.
Could I close with a personal anecdote that people may or may not want to hear?
But I want to hear it, and I'm the only one who counts, so go ahead.
Well, you saw the photo, and you also saw I shot a video with Maddie Starr that's not going to be put on Stunt Granny because I don't look my best in it, and I have a reputation, but we're teasing Eric on that about not being at the show. But after the Hall of Fame thing, the four of us kind of hang out, and the one thing I've always respected, not the one thing, but one thing I've always really respected about DDP is he is really great to the fans, and he really seems to appreciate it when people, take the time to want to get a picture or say hello or whatever. And so we kind of wanted to talk to DDP, and we were hanging back. And right now, if you take a picture with him, he wants you to do the little hand signal with him for the diamond cutter, because that's kind of his DDP yoga thing, I think.
Yeah.
And so he did that with me, and I said, can you get a picture with our whole group? So he did, and he was real nice. I said, man, I got to tell you something. I said, I still remember it was probably about 96, 97, 98, I don't know, but we saw you wrestle in the Shrine Mosque when we went to the hotel afterward, and there were these really hot chicks that were getting their picture taken with you. And my buddy and I were standing back there, and we watched, and we were like, we'd already been kind of – we kind of went to try to talk to a couple of wrestlers, and they were like, screw off, and not in so many words, but they certainly didn't really appreciate that we were there trying to get some pictures or autographs or whatever. And so we were kind of gun shy at this point. So Jimmy and I just kind of snuck up behind DDP as these girls were getting ready to leave and had our buddy take a picture. And of course, this was back in the days of like disposable cameras or whatever the hell we had. We didn't have a camera phone, obviously. And we're like, okay, cool. And then DDP turns to us. He's like, hey, guys. We're like, oh, shit. He's going to be like, what the hell? He's like, what kind of picture was that? And we're like, well, what do you mean? He's like, get over here. And so he puts me in the diamond cutter, and he has Jimmy stand there and point, or wherever the hell Jimmy does. I'll try to find a picture and send it to you. And I'm telling him this as quickly as I can because people are waiting to talk to him, and he's like, and I just told him, I said, man, it was the truth. I said, that meant a lot to me because, we didn't like to feel like the dumbass is bothering the wrestlers or whatever. And he was like, he was trying to remember who he worked with that night and talking to me and all that. And he's like, well, wait a second. Hold on. We got to do that again 20 years later. Yeah. So the picture I sent him, the diamond cutter, is not what he usually does nowadays. But he did that for me, and we were joking around, and he really is a very positive guy. He's good at self-promotion, but he's also really surprisingly just a great guy and humble in his own way. And he does genuinely appreciate, those kind of – I thought he got a kick out of the story, and it was cool to hang out with him for a few minutes. So that kind of ended our night, and it, again, it was kind of a cool thing. We went back to the bar, and I actually did get – I personally had more of a chance because I was sitting there with Travis to not visit too much with Jim Ross and Jerry Briscoe, but listening a little bit at one point, and then I was at the other table with the IPW guys for a while and with Tim and Chad and guys that are lifetime members, and it was more of a laid-back night on Saturday night. It was really cool. So every year I'm like, why the hell am I making this drive? And then every year I'm like, you know what, it was worth it, and I'll probably go back next year.
Nice. That's awesome. Well, hope I can join you next year. Hope a lot more people can join us. And, Dan, I really appreciate the stories and the rundown of the weekend, and glad you could join.
Man, I appreciate you doing this, Eric, and I thank you again for getting me started on this. And these guys are going to know where you live next year, and they're willing to go to your house. So we're probably not going to take no for an answer. So you're just going to have to start doing your honeydews and building up your equity and figuring out a way to go next year, because Travis, Troy, Maddie, all these guys were like, what the hell, man? Where is he at? We ran into your friends,
Marshall and Krista.
Marshall and Krista, and they were like, I can't believe he's not here. We were all just kidding.
So, I'm a sellout. I suck at life.
Got to get that fixed, man. Got to get that fixed.
All right. Hopefully we do, and hopefully I get on one of these sooner than a year from now, and you do too. And, buddy, we'll talk later, all right?
Yes, sir. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, grandkids. Have a good one. Yeah.